good afternoon to you. It's our fifth telecourse on the Integrating NVC. This is Kathleen McFerrin, and I'm here for the NVC Academy. So we've already talked about the integration of consciousness and language and thought, and last week was communication, and today is one area that I really want to explore further, is strategies of influence. So how is it that we are in relationship with people, and what strategies do we use to influence them to really join us on our quest for the kind of life that we want to create and live in, the kind of world that we want to live in? We want to do that, of course, in line with our values and in line with a certain kind of consciousness, and I'm looking forward to exploring that. Before we go in there, let's do a quick check-in, if you're fine with that, and just curious, again, what you've been pondering in relation to this class. I know that last week we left with 1,000 questions, and I didn't know if any of those were kind of simmering in your brain during this time and you had anything insights to share. I'd also just like to know how you are in this moment.
Well, this is Mary Kay, and I'm pretty good in this moment. I really enjoy being here in this class and the conversation and the company and the laughter. So it's something I really look forward to. When I call in, I'm always kind of curious as to what we're going to do and excited to be here.
Are you also curious when you leave as to what we did do? You know, you said you call in and you're always curious on what we're going to do. And do you have that same sort of curiosity, like, what did we just do after an hour and a half of the class?
That's interesting. Usually I think when I leave, I have questions in my mind, things to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my feeling there is more one of stimulation. I feel stimulated. And just depending on what we've talked about, I might have any number of different feelings. Mm-hmm. Peaceful, if something has kind of come unraveled for me, or or sometimes curious, I guess.
Okay, I just thought I'd check that out.
Yeah, and actually I have been thinking more ahead about strategies of influence this week, partly just because I'm involved in a group that is looking at reorganizing itself, and it's just been a fascinating study to see that process, to watch myself trying to influence the process and trying to understand or see in a little different way what's going on. I'm not sure I have any insight into this yet, but I'm working on it. You know, there are a lot of things floating around in my head.
Great.
I have noticed the universe is a strange place. An incredible amount of synchronicity in life processes, growing up, NVC, some yoga teacher training stuff. I mean, it's like all the same thing at the same time. It's been very, very interesting. And for instance, last night at this yoga course, there's something called yamas and niyamas, and they're internal and external practices. Last night, the practice that we were working on is called satya, and that translates as truthfulness. So we spent 2 hours talking about truthfulness and communication. You know, I have certainly studied that before. It's not new. But it was so fascinating now, with some NVC under my belt, to sit there and revisit it and realize how much of what my teacher was saying could have been an NVC teacher. And it was just so interesting to me. I just sort of sat there and let the two kind of weave together. And it was just fascinating to me.
I really like those moments when it seems as though the message is coming through all different metaphors and all different ways. Marshall doesn't claim that this is anything new. I've heard him so many times say, you know, this is just stuff that he learned from other traditions.
Yeah, I give Marshall and however 30, 40 years of evolution of NVC an incredible amount of credit. You know, it may not be new, but I've been studying yoga for 15 years, and I've been studying Buddhist meditation for 14 years, and I didn't get anywhere near as far in those combined 30 years as 6 months of NVC training. And that's been the most amazing thing for me, is how he has managed to do this. And maybe it's that it connects with a Western mindset more, or maybe it's just universal what he's managed to put together, but it definitely has opened doors inside my mind and my heart that hadn't been opened for.
Mm. Sounds like celebration to me. Lots of that coming through in your voice.
Yeah, I think that's how I feel today. If I had to go for in this moment, that would be it. It's been a really very, very difficult, emotional, painful couple of weeks. But now it's like, okay, I know what I'm doing. I'm okay.
Well, terrific. I'm so glad to talk to both of you again. I guess I come with celebration as well, just a time together with you and a sense of that life is always in transition and process and the learning, and I have a sense that those needs will be met as we're together and trying to sort through some things and understand some things. And I do look forward to the laughter and the ideas and that combination, which seems very heart and mind combined in a nice balance for me that I enjoy. Last week we talked about boundaries a bit, and we talked about boundaries, which for me always needs a little bit of translation so I can be clear when one person says boundaries, what the other person means. And I think, Mary Kay, correct me, that we kind of came up with the idea that it was really that I was really clear on my choice in terms of what was my responsibility and what was other people's responsibility. Is that similar to what we came up with boundaries?
Yeah, that sounds good.
And then I, of course, opened a book. Talk about synchronicity. It happens all the time in my life. Margaret Wheatley's book, Finding Our Way. This is a paragraph she wrote about boundaries, so I wanted to offer it to you since we talked about it last week. These complex networks of relationships offer very different possibilities for thinking about self and other. The very idea of boundaries changes profoundly. Rather than being a self-protective wall, boundaries become the place of meeting and exchange. We usually think of these edges as a means to define separateness, defining what's inside and what's outside. But in living systems, boundaries are something quite different. They are the place where new relationships take form, an important place of exchange and growth as an individual chooses to respond to another. As connections proliferate and a system weaves itself into existence, it becomes difficult to interpret boundaries as defenses or even markers of where one individual ends. A lot of her work is talking about living systems and how they're always changing and it's always a moment of possibility, and yet we come to organizations and people in our worldview, which is how all this connects to the NBC, as such rigid structure sometimes. It's amazing when we look at life and it's continually changing. So I like that idea of within a living system that boundaries are a place of engagement for people, engagement and growth. So I just thought I'd bring that up as kind of to add that one more piece on last week's conversation, and I'd love to hear a response if you want to, whether you liked that reading or not.
This is Mary Kay, and I really enjoy that metaphor that a boundary is the place of meeting. I thought it's important to be clear that boundaries are not the same thing as walls. I think that really does add something to the discussion.
And the boundaries sometimes become strategies. And so if we just think of the boundary as a certain space where I'm really clear on what's mine and what's yours, and it's a place where we can play and interact, that I'm comfortable using the word in those places. Kathy, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say it was interesting because I actually felt a physical response. I became aware that earlier when you said last week we talked about boundaries, not being aware of it in the moment, but in hindsight, listening to that reading, I became aware that there was a subtle toughening, like boundaries would mean a wall, literally. Mm-hmm. And then listening to the reading, I felt that softening. And that's how I knew that the hardness had been there, because I felt it softening. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that all the time, anytime, even speaking of boundaries in a spiritual sense, I've used it as something to create separation.
Hmm. And perhaps that's why I want to be really clear when we use that word as to what people mean by that.
Hmm.
So I appreciate that, huh? That's an interesting physical response.
Yeah. It's almost like a righteous okay, this is mine, this is yours. But there's a righteousness in it, not a softness.
Hmm. I guess it highlights for me, as we move into talking about strategies of influence, how critical the consciousness is for that to be in place, that worldview, the thinking, the thoughts, because it's out of that place that the strategies emerge to support the paradigm that we want to create or that we want to come from. The strategies support the consciousness. They support the intentions that we hold. So that clarity could really shift in how we're using language. So when we're talking about strategies of influence, this area seems critical to me in realizing our visions. How do we really influence others in alignment with our values? How can we inspire others to join us in creating a world that restores health and wholeness to the planet in the way that we're visioning that it can hold that space? And this is the area that correlates to the NVC component request. This is the element where I'm guessing much of our intention gets lost by not knowing how to put our hopes into clear requests. It seems like there's a giant chasm that we have to leap over often. Even though a request is implied in any action or speech, but without a clear request, we don't know what another person wants back from us, or they don't know what we want from them. And the clarity is what keeps us focused on the underlying meaning or the needs, that allows us to check for understanding, to check for feedback about what's going on with the other person, and to create actions from a place of creativity and abundance. So the request component in NVC is where we come up with a strategy to meet needs. And we offer a request as a gift. It's an opportunity for others to use their power to contribute to our well-being. I understand two different kinds of requests. One is to verify connection. Sometimes we call them connecting requests. And the second kind of request is to seek some kind of fulfillment of our needs. So it's a strategic request. So either request for connection or request for specific strategies. And the important elements in the request include, first of all, clarity. Critically important to be clear. So that means the request needs to be in a positive or doable action and something that's immediately doable, so in the present moment, and something concrete and very specific. So clarity is an important element. And the second element that's really important is that we only want the other person to do it if it meets their needs, which is often why we use the phrase, would you be willing to? And we might add to that, did you hear that as a demand? I'd like you to tell me how I could have said that so that you didn't hear it as a demand, if you think that the person really is hearing it that way. If a person has ever received punishments or criticisms in the past, when they did not do what another person wanted, it will be hard for them to hear anything as a request. That is a little sobering to me, because I'm not sure I know anybody who has never heard a request as a demand or has experienced punishment or criticism in response to saying no. And we show people that it's really a request and not a demand by our response when they say no to us. Remember the other parts of NVC, that whatever we get back, all we want to hear is what the person's feeling and needing. If they say no to us or yes, we just want to connect with that empathically, hearing without criticism what's alive for that person in the moment. And if it's our objective to get what we want, it's already a demand. One thing I'm working on as I'm becoming more aware of this is the incredible price that we pay if we don't really make requests, truly to requests and not demands. So every time we express a criticism, we pay for it. Because every time people associate us with blame, criticism, or punishment, which is, of course, the outcome of a demand, it makes it that much harder for others to trust that compassion and caring also comes from us. So those are the two key components for me around requests, is that clarity, concrete, specific, doable, and that whole idea and intention that we only want people to say yes to us if it meets their needs. So with that, let's open it wide open now to curiosity that might come from that, questions, experiences you might have had in relation to that.
You know, Kathleen, it's really interesting because in thinking about making requests over the past week, the whole issue of surrendering the result of letting go of the demand, the outcome. You know, that you make the request honestly and as clearly as you can, and then you accept the response. And if it's no, if what you've asked for doesn't meet someone's needs, then that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's just the word that strikes me when we look at strategies of influence. The first word that comes to my mind is surrender, which is really kind of interesting to me, because I think I want to accomplish a certain thing, but really in the end, it's not up to me.
Use that word surrendering. I was really struck by that, surrendering the result. So I would use really hearing whatever comes back as empathic connection, hearing the needs. But there's such an element of surrender in that that I really enjoyed you bringing that up. You had more to say. I'd love to hear it.
Well, I'm trying to think. I think I want to influence people. What is it? You know, have friends and influence people. And, you know, I think I want people to share my values. Well, I know that I want to be with people who share my values. But a lot of the people I love don't share my values. I had a friend of mine actually say to me, I have no needs. Needs are food, shelter, clothing. Mm-hmm. And we actually got into a discussion over this. And, you know, it was so clear that this was not what this person wanted to hear or needed to hear or anything. And it just fascinates me that it's like, okay, fine, then I won't discuss this with you if it's so painful for you to hear this word. I'm not sure what I'm doing with this idea of influencing people. I think honesty, when Kathy mentioned honesty, that kind of rang a bell. I thought, oh, yes, it's important that I be honest, that I not pretend that I don't have the values that I have, and that I share that maybe with people whom I love and who I feel love me, so that we can see each other. I think that's a good start, maybe. Maybe that's the only strategy.
I like that, and so it really does beg the question, what do we mean by influence others? And if we're talking about, does influence mean agreement? I don't think that's the NBC perspective. I don't think that's the kind of influence I'm talking about. When I'm talking about how do I want to influence others, it very much is along the lines of, I want that kind of life that embraces honesty and empathy, that where I can flow with what's really true for me and you can flow with what's really true for you. And it creates and generates this sense of wanting to give to each other. That's my understanding of what this strategy's influence about is. I want to be able to engage with you in a way that you know your needs are as precious to me as my own, and that there's all this giving that gets stimulated. So you're wanting to give to me, and I'm wanting to give to you, and we're both wanting to serve life, and we're both wanting to make sure that all the needs are met. That's the kind of influence I'm talking about. How does that resonate with your whole question around whether you want to influence people or not?
Well, here's the question, and this actually comes out of an actual meeting I was in. I belong to a group that decided to change the language of their opening statement. I never liked the old one particularly, and I liked the new one even less. But one person in particular was very excited about this, the most excited I have ever seen him. But I just cannot bring myself to read this statement. It's just not true for me. I said, you know, when I first came to this group, the language really put me off. And I see people coming and hearing this language and leaving and never coming back. So I said, I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is an opportunity to really talk about language after a couple of weeks of talking about this and both of us being stuck in our spot. I said, how would it work if whoever's facilitating, you know, if we have two or three different openings, and then I could bring one that I felt comfortable in when I'm the one reading it. And the other fellow said, well, absolutely not, because this isn't a program about feelings and needs. This is a 12-step group, and we have rules. In the end, my thought was, well, this feelings and needs stuff, you're not ready to go there. And my solution is to go start a new group. But it's taken me a long time to come around to that, and I was kind of sad, because it literally means severing a certain connection, though we will remain friends and everything. But I thought, sometimes there is an emotional connection. We are two people who are fond of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot both have our needs met in that same space. because this person, and I really came to understand that through this whole process, he really needs and wants a certain kind of structure.
Mm-hmm.
And a structure that's worked for him. And I thought, I want for him to be able to have that. Realizing that I need a different kind of structure and a different kind of language, and that there are other ways of getting those needs met.
Well, and that would be one strategy to do that. I have an idea. Would you be willing to role play this? And let me check with Kathy. Would that meet your needs for kind of being in dialogue and trying to sort through strategies in a way where we stay connected?
And I think we did stay connected. But it's like, mm-hmm. So did any influencing take place here?
Well, when I go into prisons, and part of what I do is they say, hey, man, this is all fine, but you know what? Somebody's coming after me and my back is against the wall, then I tell you I'm not going to be doing this stuff. And I'm going to make sure that person knows where their place is and that they better not cross the line. And I said, well, that's great. That might, you know, work in the moment, but can you turn your back on the person? They say, no way, man. Then I say, then have you really created power with that person? If you can't turn your back on them, and then they kind of think, oh. I said, I'm talking about creating power with another human being. So that not only can you turn your back on them, but you trust that they're watching your back and that they trust that you're watching theirs. And so that's the type of influence I'm talking about. I want to create strategies to influence where you end up trusting each other more fully. And so staying connected in that conversation where you may have decided to do two different groups could also, you could have left with the way that your trust is deepened between the two of you.
And the deepening of trust is the goal here.
Well, if I have deep trust in you, then I'm much more likely to listen to what you have to say. Now you have influence with me because I'm much more open to hearing what's true for you.
The question isn't even if you're willing to listen to what I have to say, because I'm not sure this person ever will be in this lifetime.
They may not be interested in your strategy.
I feel like I can turn my back. I don't feel that there would ever be less care for me or that it would be dangerous in any way.
Okay, so if the person's not interested in your strategies, but they're interested in that your needs are met, that to me sounds like influence. Is this making any sense?
Yes, it's really clarifying this whole issue for me.
That I am influenced when we are more interested in meeting each other's needs. I've now created a sphere of trust, and that's what I call influence. Kathy, you've been listening to this, and I'm wondering from a third-sided point of view, what's come up for you as you're hearing all this?
Let's see if I can do this as concisely as possible. For about the past 4 to 6 weeks, I've been going through a very, very difficult time with a very long-time friend. I've known this man for 20 years, and I have definitely seen aberrant behaviors in business and towards other people. In 20 years, not once, not ever, was there anything unkind or questionable in his behavior towards me until very recently. And as I started trying to get some grip, some understanding, and I could not get any explanation, compassion, empathy, nothing whatsoever, even suggested that we try an NVC mediation and was met with snide, rude. He eventually told me, and I had never heard this term before, that number of years back in therapy when he was trying to figure out why he had done some of the things he has done to people, that he was told that he has a narcissistic personality disorder. And I was completely unfamiliar with this, but in doing my research on it, come to discover that it's a developmental, I'll call it a shortcoming for lack of a better word, where this small percentage of the population have no capacity for empathy or compassion, and they have no comprehension of their actions on other people because it wouldn't impact them that way. They don't get it. They don't understand what your problem is. It isn't a volitional thing. They can't. They can literally wake up. Like, let's say you were married to one hunky-dory, treated like a queen for X years. They just wake up one day, they don't care anymore, and they're gone. No explanation, get over your crying. In reading and studying this, I come to realize that this is my father and my father-in-law. And it set up this whole dynamic in my life as the child of a narcissist where you aren't allowed to have any needs. You just simply can't have them because there's nowhere for them to exist. And so as I'm hearing this strategies of influence, at the same time that I'm coming to recognize that I've lived my life in this bubble of having no influence, I'm just starting now to recognize this needs consciousness, and we're almost way far ahead of what I can even wrap my brain around with strategies of influence. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to practice what I'm learning on someone who has no capacity for empathy or compassion.
I want to be clear that I'm understanding your experience of really coming to a place yourself where this is pretty new territory to think that you have needs and to hold the world with compassion and empathy and to interact with people wanting that kind of mutuality and trust.
Right.
And that there's a lot of learning that's going on for you and growth about that.
Yes.
And that now you're in a situation where you're coming up against these people who have been given this diagnosis and have been told that there are people that don't have capacity for this at all, and now you're struggling with wondering, is this true? And if it's true, what does that mean for me in my lifetime? And getting an understanding of what it might be to interact with those people, is that correct?
Actually, my curiosity lies more to what will it be like to interact with people who aren't that? What will it be like to interact from a place of having needs?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if right is the right word, but that I have a right to my needs and that I have, I'm not a bad person by having them or wanting mutuality or I can go back through my lifetime, my brothers and sisters' lifetimes with my father and literally not from the tiniest child, not allowed to have needs, not allowed to have opinions, not allowed to have anything that didn't reinforce his opinion of himself. It's emotionally brutal. It's so violent. As I'm looking at it now and realizing that that isn't the way everybody lives.
So for you, there's a lot of mourning that you grew up in a household where, for whatever reason, needs weren't considered real or something that people could have, and there was a lot of things going on that really prevented you from being connected to that kind of life for you. So you've got a lot of mourning and grieving that's going on around that.
There's a tremendous amount. That's mostly what the past couple of weeks have been, really, is mourning and grieving. And at the same time, an awakening of, oh, I still have life left.
Mm-hmm.
I can explore the other side. I can see what it's actually like to be heard, to be valued, that it matters,
and
that I matter.
And you wanting to have more experiences of being with people who can explore that with you.
Right. And so that's where I'm sort of still in that little baby bird place of needs consciousness. So when I think about strategies of influence, that's almost like graduate school for me right now.
Mm-hmm. So I want to put out just a little discomfort that's coming up for me, because when we don't show feelings, it often comes across as aggression or hostility or separation. And so I guess the discomfort for me is that you've been in relationship with a person for 20 years and now you're supposed to believe that they suddenly have no capacity for empathy. And for whatever reason, yes or no, I just wanted to put out that I have discomfort in approaching it with that sort of belief. And it's not questioning whether it is or isn't. I just want to state that that's there for me. And my best understanding is that no matter what capacity a person has in terms of empathy or ability to be connected with themselves, we still use the best approach we can. Or if drugs and alcohol are involved in a person's pretty separate, you know, they have different things happening with their brain, it's still this way of empathy and honesty and making requests is still the best way I know how to make some kind of connection if it's at all possible.
Right.
So I just want to put that out there to say that life is a mystery to me, and I don't have answers in terms of those, but I'm really nervous about getting to a place where I can label somebody as not having capacity for it. I don't know what their life is in their capacity. So I still want to maintain this sort of consciousness for myself, mm-hmm. that this person is still human in all of their humanity, and out of that consciousness, let my language, thoughts, and actions go. And I'm wondering what that's like to hear that from me.
I don't disagree, and I'm not a psychotherapist or a psychiatrist. I don't know. I only know that after, you know, he started opening up about this particular mm-hmm. period in therapy, and then I did some research. At this point, for me, I think what I'm talking about is less about whether he and I could continue to contribute to a mutual friendship or not, and more about a recognition on my part about a lifelong pattern mm-hmm. of thinking that those kinds of relationships were normal, that this was what I kept choosing out of familiarity.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the Mayo Clinic or some particular website that I was reading about this particular personality disorder and the traits associated with it, they talked about how the children of narcissists have this special training mm-hmm. in how then to move out into the world, not having needs, but being needed.
Okay, now I feel a whole lot of comfort there, because it's not, you know, you still make all, within all of your experiences and information, you get to make all the choices in the world. I just want to still be able to hold that space for all people.
Right.
So, yeah, I feel great comfort and excitement in exploring that piece with you. And how do you move out into the world in relationships where you do experience something really different with people who can give you the kind of empathy that you haven't experienced before and can allow you to go to the depths of authenticity and connecting with your needs?
Right. Yeah, I can definitely say that listening to Mary Kay's story, I would have been certain that what this man wanted must be the right way. It wouldn't have occurred to me. I could be belligerent about what I believed might be a better wording for the reading, but in the end, would certainly have believed that his must be right.
Hmm.
And so now thinking that, oh, there's another way, is like this whole new world.
That whatever is true for you and ideas that come up for you are something that you could trust, and is that which part of what you're exploring, is that sense of self-trust that you can really stand on ground of what comes up for you?
Yes, actually that's probably exactly it. My dance teacher, the words that she used, maybe a little bit more, have more strength in them than an NBC, but she was just talking about dance, and she said, stand in your space and own it. 9 feet up, 9 feet out. It's your space. And that was a revelation for me. Saying other people only get into that space if you invite them into that space. And honestly, concept never knew. Never knew that concept.
Huh. Now, I'm really enjoying this because I realize that we can't even begin to go to this place of creating strategies of influence without really being connected to our needs in our own space.
Right, which is why I was saying we're in graduate school now, but I think I'm still back at that first grade thing, mm-hmm. which is okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to run. I'm happy to share and participate, but I don't want to rush myself and start trying to do things before I have that clarity and mm-hmm. that awareness.
And what comes up for me around that is all the requests you can make of yourself. Because the requests that I make of myself are, I make more of them to myself, and I try to get really clear about those before I make requests to others. So it might request to oneself to keep it really specific and doable and think of it as a fulfillment of our needs is am I willing to really be honest with myself about how this new life feels to me? Is this something that I really want to pursue, to connect with that? And then create strategies to what other people in my life do I imagine can give me that kind of empathic connection and relationship I want? And am I willing to sit down and have tea with somebody once a week or be on the phone once a week? Or am I willing to journal about this? Am I willing to take more NVC classes if those are things that are supporting you? And so I can imagine all those requests that would be, I would guess, kind of bubbling and flowing from you right now, maybe not, just not noticing that they're requests to stay connected to yourself. Does that make any sense?
It makes absolute sense, and it really is where I am. This telecourse, and then I'm signed up for another one when this one finishes, and my NVC teacher in Philadelphia, and he had talked at one point early on about this deep yearning in him to really, truly connect with people. Mm. And I honestly had no idea what he was talking about. I didn't get it. I mean, intellectually, yes, and all those hours of sitting on a meditation cushion, kind of, sort of, but I really realized in listening to the deep yearning in him that I have functioned at a very, very surface level with people. It hasn't had that depth, and it hasn't had that connection. And it's because I didn't know what it was. I didn't have it to offer or to seek or to desire. It was something that didn't exist for me.
Can I tell you what's coming up for me right now? Do you want to hear?
Yeah.
I just have this wave of admiration for you at the moment, of really valuing a sense of courage and clarity and standing on your own ground about this is where I am and I want to stay here and explore it for a while, and that you're doing things that, if you haven't experienced this before, that it could be really outside your comfort zone. I just have a sense of being very honored to be in on this call with you, that when you're sharing this. So I wanted to say that because it was coming up pretty strongly for me.
Thank you. Thank you. One of the things that Jason assigned me as homework last week was literally that, to find those places in the world that reflect value. And so hearing that from you, it makes me very emotional. Thank you.
Mary Kay, do you want to...
I just want to say the same exact thing. Yes, I mean, I'm just sitting here listening. It's like, how did you escape from that? It's a miracle to me because, I mean, it reminds me very much of this conversation I've been having with my friend. This feeling that he simply cannot see me. He cannot see my needs because he can't look at that aspect of existence. And it's not that I don't think he has needs. I think that for some reason, facing that fact is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Just terrifying. I mean, when I do exercises on this issue, what keeps coming up is fear. I mean, terror is a better word. Mm-hmm. And thinking, what? When the first time it happened, I started having such compassion for him. I used to want to kind of rattle his cage, you know, because I would think, oh, this is going to set him free. He's going to relax a little when he hears this need stuff, and it had the opposite effect, you know. But I did not really understand until we got into this. And I'm beginning to have some appreciation, I think, for what it must feel like for him. And I have my own experiences of terror. You know, they're different things. It's not talking about feelings that generates that for me, but there are things that can generate that. So I've been visiting all of that and just thinking we have to respect that, but I'm curious. This is just a point of curiosity, being honest with myself first and then expressing my own honesty. But I'm wondering, another story that Marshall tells that has come back to me over this whole issue was the story he tells about the young woman who was not speaking that sat in his office every day for a week, and he spoke to her and said, are you feeling this, you know, are you feeling that, or do you need this, or do you want that? And the one who had the note clenched in her hand that he had to pry out of her hand that said, please help me.
Hmm.
And that's kind of what I've been feeling like. Feeling like I'm speaking to someone who has no voice. But I'm not sure that they're not hearing, that empathy doesn't still somehow touch people who think they're not capable of empathy, you know, and people who talking about needs and honoring needs doesn't touch someone who thinks they have none mm-hmm. in some way. So that's a question.
Mm-hmm. That's that place of consciousness that I don't know. Life is really a mystery, and for all of the great resources we have and tools and science, there's still so much we don't know. And I still want to hold a certain kind of honoring, even though we're all at different places. And the strategies of influence then might simply be to connect with whatever is for that person.
Right.
And for myself in the moment.
Right.
So I'm wondering, since this is resonating for both of you, if it would be helpful to do that role play Mary Kay with your friend.
Oh, sure. So do you have a plan? Who do you want me to be?
You could choose, or we could switch roles. I could play you, and you could play your friend.
That would probably be good.
To kind of get started. And you'll notice that the request I'll be making will be connecting requests for the most part. And I might go into strategic request at some point. But I'm guessing it will be just trying to really understand. And the other piece that, again, I want to say that I often forget is how critical it is for me that this process takes place silently. That if when I'm verbalizing it, if it really triggers even more discomfort and or anger from the person, then I still want to keep the process going on silently and maybe not say it out loud so that I can still try to connect with the underlying needs. Okay, so Mary Kay, is there any information that would be really helpful, or should we just dive in?
I think we can just dive in.
Is this, and we're going to do the about the opening, the new opening statement?
Yes, just the opening statement. So I have this great opening statement, and I'm so excited about this, and I really want to use this. And you have looked at it, and it really turns you off.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know what I'd love to hear is tell me the parts that hold the greatest value for you. What is it that you're really excited about?
Structure and order. People won't be bringing in things that are too uncomfortable. People
yeah.
will be following the program, which I know well. I've been doing this for many years, you know, and this is just the thing I like to do. You know, we're going to have something really solid.
Okay.
So
for you, you get a lot of support from having something that's predictable and consistent for you. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And that when you have that kind of support, when times get really tough, if it's just this one thing that's predictable, it just really becomes ingrained and you can access it quickly when you need it. Is that part of it?
Well, that's it. And also, you know, I think this is just going to help me. I think it's going to help me a lot. And, you know, it's program materials.
So this is a particular statement that you really resonate with. It just really gets you centered in that place where you come from the kind of energy you want, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And knowing that it's going to be there all the time is really, I'm guessing, a relief to you.
Yeah, and I looked at it, and I think I'm going to make real progress in this. You know, there are things that scare me in this program, but I think it's really going to help me.
So to have this gives you a sense of hope and celebration that you might not have had with the other program. I'm wondering if the other parts of the program that are scary, if sometimes when you come face-to-face with them, if you get a sense of hopelessness and it might be too overwhelming and would set you back in your progress. Is that what happens?
Well, I don't want to talk about stuff that just isn't relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm really wanting to know your full experience, if you're willing to tell me. And so I'm wondering if the stuff that is too overwhelming and it doesn't seem to help you seems kind of irrelevant to you.
Well, it's not that anything's overwhelming. It's just that it's you're not going to get anywhere if you don't get with this program.
In your experience, you know, this particular program has supported you so much and in ways that other things haven't. Is that right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering if you'd be willing to hear what goes on for me about this particular program.
Sure.
So I'm wondering if it's, I'm just wondering if you can tell me, if I say that this program doesn't support me in the same way it supports you, if that's something that you can believe or not, or I'm just wondering what comes up for you when you hear that.
I think if you think that, you're just like a cafeteria Catholic. You just take the parts you like and you ignore the parts you don't like. But you know it won't work if you do that. You got to take all the parts you don't like as well as the parts you like.
So you're really valuing being able to look honestly at everything that's in front of me that the program offers. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. And that's something that you're valuing. And when I say that I'm not resonating with this particular part, then that's how you're seeing it, is that I'm not willing to look at it?
That's exactly right. You're just in denial.
I really appreciate, I'm really appreciating your honesty that you can tell me that. I'm wondering if I could say it differently so that maybe, I want to say it differently so that you can see a difference in what I'm intending here. One is that it's not that I want to not explore these places. They're the scary places, even though I hate going there, I do find great learning there. And once I'm able to look at different things, I still want to choose what kind of learning supports me best, just as you want to choose the learning that supports you best. And I'm wondering if you could tell me back what you heard, because I don't think I was being very clear there.
You just want to do whatever you want to do. And, you know, that stuff just doesn't work.
So I'm wondering if you would, if you'd let me try again. I'd like you to hear a difference between me just doing whatever I want to do and me choosing things that I find really nurture and support me in my path. Can you hear a difference between those two?
Well, if you want to do something else, you can do something else, but that's not what this program is about.
So
this is a 12-step program.
So if I'm understanding you, that in the program that you're offering here, that there's not, are you suggesting there's not room for me to make some choices about the things that really nurture me and to have a place that I can speak that to the group?
I think you're just avoiding the issue when you do that.
Oh, so I'm...
That's
you
not
like,
what we're about.
So you would really like, when I come to the group, that there's a place of great honesty and that I'm really willing to look things in the face. Is that right?
Sure. Sure,
so
you come
and do
that.
So I'm wondering what I could say or do that gives you the sense that I'm really honestly looking at things and making a choice. I'm wondering what I could say or do so you'd have the assurance that I'm really honestly looking at all of the material.
You know, people in this program, they come here because they need help, because
yeah, yeah.
they don't know what to
yeah,
do.
Before you
and
go
this
there,
program will help you do it.
Yeah.
And if you think you know what to do, then you're just being arrogant.
So can I hold on a second?
Mm-hmm.
I really am not here. My intention is not to separate us. My intention is really to help us understand each other better. Do you trust that?
I think I understand you perfectly.
Okay. And what I would like to know from you is what I could say or do so that you would have the assurance that I'm not denying things, that I'm really looking honestly at everything and really looking it in the face in the way that you enjoy. What can I say or do that demonstrates that to you?
You could come here and follow this program.
Okay. So I'm really concerned that that will just tell you about the program but won't tell you what's going on inside me. And I'm curious if you want to know what's going on inside me.
Sure. Tell me what's going on inside you.
And I'm wondering how I can do that when it's different than the program.
You don't seem to get it. This is a program that works. And it works. It doesn't work for everybody. You know, it only works for 1 out of 10 people. You've seen all the people who come through here and leave. But for those who stay, this program works.
So if I'm understanding
you can leave if you want to. You know?
So if I'm understanding you correctly, then if I have questions about the program, then the program is not working for me. Is that what you're coming from?
If the program doesn't work for you, then you can do whatever you want to. You don't have to come here.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about what's going on inside you right now with this conversation. Would you be willing to tell me how you're feeling about it?
Well, you know, we've been kind of winging it in this group for a long time, and now we finally got something that's really solid that we can hold on to. And I've been here for 20 years. I've been doing this same thing for 20 years. I think this program could really help us. I'm ready to try something new.
I'm wondering if you're feeling a little frustrated because sounds like there's a lot of things to celebrate for you. You're excited about this, and you would really like it if I were to join you in that celebration. Is it kind of frustrating that I'm not?
Yeah. I mean, I think this would do you a lot of good. I think it would do us all a lot of good.
Yeah.
You know, and I just, they've got this other group in town, and they're doing it, and people are all excited about it, and I guess I just can't understand why you're not excited about it.
Yeah, I'd like to share something with you right now. I really do want to join you in your celebration, that this is something that's working for you. Can you hear that? Do you believe that trust that I really am happy you found something that works for you?
Well, I guess.
Can you trust that?
I guess. I mean, I don't really have any argument with you.
Okay.
I'd like to see you join us. I enjoy
being with you in the group, and I'm really celebrating that works for you. And I'm also wanting some room so that I can celebrate the things that work for me, and I'm wondering how you would feel about celebrating things that work for me when they're different for you. How would you feel about that?
Well, I'd be happy for you. You can do whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
You know? Probably won't work, but you can do it.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if you could be really honest and let me know, would you really be able to trust that I can make choices for myself that really nurture me and support my growth?
You can make all the choices you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do whatever you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do this.
So how do you feel when I tell you that I'd like to be part of this group in a way that really can support both of us? How do you feel when you hear me say that?
Well, you know, if you want to just do whatever you want to do,
I'm really
curious if you want to have different readings and that kind of thing, you know, this is a 12-step program. You know, you don't want to follow those rules. You just want to pick and choose. You know, and that might be fine for you, but you know, it really doesn't work for me.
Let me say this differently because I'm not sure that I really got my point across. I'm wondering if you have any hope that there's a way for both of us to get our needs met here.
Well, you know, I think if you really stuck with this program, I think you would come to see the value in it. But, you know, if you don't want to do this with us, I need this. People who have my condition, we all need this. What you're trying to do is it's just too far out there.
So when I offer something that doesn't really seem like it's a good match for you, could you tell me how you feel?
Well, I'm getting angry about it. You know, you're bringing in these weird things. You're not following the rules. You know, it's just you're not focusing on the steps.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're bringing in all this stuff that just doesn't interest me and that...
Yeah, so I'm guessing when I do that and it's not clearly linked to the steps that it's pretty confusing and you don't want to be using your time in that way.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, so I'm wondering how you would feel about me bringing in some things and connecting them clearly to the steps. And if you saw how they're connected to the steps, I'm wondering if you would be able to hear something that I can celebrate in connection with that.
Well, you know what? That's what this program does. Every single session has a program already. You know, there's one for every day of the year. You know, all you have to do is print it out and bring it in, and it goes step by step, and it's all done for us. We don't have to make things up. So, we don't have to wing it the way we've been doing it.
And I really want to get this. Am I understanding correctly that this program supports and nurtures you?
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't be married
nothing,
if it weren't for this program.
And there's nothing about this. This program is life-saving for you.
Yes, absolutely.
And that every single piece of the program is supporting you in some way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every word.
And
I go to these meetings every day.
And every single day, without them, it would be a pretty scary world.
I would be dead.
Yeah, yeah. This is really life and death for you. And so much to the point that you, even the thought of shifting anything in a way that might disrupt that balance is just something that you don't even want to participate in. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That's correct.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like me to hear about that?
No. I think you finally got it.
Because I really want you to, I really want to get it. I want to see how this is at the very core of whether you live or die. And I want to hold that for you. And now I want to tell you what it is for me, and I want you to be able to hold that piece for me. You want to give it a try?
I'd be happy to hear that.
Okay. When I hear some of the words in the opening statement, I go to a place where I'm feeling really concerned that it's not the same place that's going to hold me in the way that it's holding you. Can you tell me just that much back? I really want you to hear how it is for me.
Well, you know, I think if you really tried,
no,
you know, you're a smart girl.
I just want you to hear how it is for me. I heard from you that it's really life and death, and I'm honoring that and holding that. And I want you to hold the same space for me just to hear what my experience is, okay? So if you just, when I hear those words, I feel really concerned that I'm not being held in the same way that I desperately need to. And I'm wondering if you could just tell me that back. I'm not asking you to agree with it. I just want you to tell me that back.
That you don't feel the same way about it. You don't understand yet how this could work for you.
Thank you. And that I'm not being held in the same way that I have confidence that it will support my life. Can you just tell me that much back?
You don't have confidence this will support you.
Yeah. And I desperately want the same kind of support that you do. Can you tell me that part back?
You want support too.
Yes, yes, thank you. Just to have that heard makes a big difference. And I love this community. I want it to be a place where both of us can have that great amount of life support that we need so that we don't end up dead. I want that for both of us. Is that something you want too?
Of course.
Yes. I want that for both of us. And so I'm wondering, I just want to stop here because it means so much for me just to have you hear that. That I want the same kind of life support that you do. And I want to find a way that we can find something that works for both of us. So I'm wondering if I could take some time now and come up with some ways that I think we can make that happen. I'm not clear yet. It's really foggy. It seems like it's not, you know, we have such different ideas, but I'm really trusting there's some way that it can work for both of us. And would you be willing to take some time to think about it? And I want to take some time to think about it and meet with me tomorrow at 10 in the morning.
I'll tell you what. Just pay attention to the other people in this group. Look for what's alike about you and them.
Would you be willing to meet with me again tomorrow morning after we've had some time to think about it?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, time out on this. I'm wanting to stay in this role play long enough so that there's some connection.
You know, it was useful for me it's interesting to me how easy it was to play his role. Probably because of all the work that I have done, and we have in fact had this conversation, it was a really good opportunity to practice giving empathy, and it actually worked. But when it came to being hurt, it was too scary. You know, I could empathize in the things that he sees that he wants to celebrate about this program, and I really could get into celebrating that with him and the needs that are filled. But when I tried to say what I see us having in common are feelings and needs or wants, I didn't. It's like, we're not going there. We're not going there. And that's where I began to realize how frightening this is.
So maybe for empathy, for even hearing, when I say it's not working for me, I wonder if it's really, if that's really hard to hear. Like, I'm wondering because it's so important to you, you don't want to even think that it might not work for somebody else.
Exactly, especially somebody you like and have been with for a while. Yeah, and that's where sometimes I thought, I don't feel that there's no connection, but I do think there are things that are so desperately important that they're more important than connections. Almost like addictions.
This strategy is
what kept me alive, and it's like trading one addiction for another, and I think you see this sometimes.
It would be frightening if, what if this one doesn't work? And if she's saying it doesn't work for her, is there...
The terror. It's like there's something wrong with even hearing that it doesn't work for somebody.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to chip away at my trust in this. So, I mean, the whole thing made me step back and rethink how I go about giving empathy, what words I dare use. I mean, it made me rethink that. And it made me realize that maybe the only way or the best way that I could give empathy in this situation might be to celebrate with him, to say, to vote for the new program, which in fact is what I'm going to do. And say, you know, I haven't seen you so excited about anything in ages. You know, you've been here for so long, and I think it's great, you know, and it doesn't meet my needs. But I think we should do it. I think there's a place for this, and this is the place.
And within that, do you trust that you can get your own needs met as well?
Yes, I do. One of the needs is to continue to be friends, and there are ways of doing that, dropping in occasionally. Seeing each other outside of this group, and then I'm doing the NVC stuff, and that's where I get my needs met.
And maybe just continuing that empathy, you know, baby step by baby step. And in terms of, I'm wondering how it feels to you when I say that it doesn't really resonate with me. Does that put any doubt in your mind about whether it would resonate for you in the long run? Something that you value so much now that you would ever lose it?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because it's not my intention. It's my intention to be really open and honest with you. But in this moment, I'm not resonating with this as much as I'm resonating with something else. And I'm wondering, when you hear that, if there's any doubt in your mind about whether it's not going to be giving you the support that you count on from it down the road.
You know, I still haven't quite figured this out, but I can see a real attachment to that game of being right and making wrong. And that playing that game helps me stay right. And if I stay right, I won't fall over into that wrong side. That's where people are at. And so I'm really learning a lot about this, but I think there's a time and a place for that game.
And you're talking about how do we integrate all the facets of NVC, there would be a place to just really hold those needs tenderly. You know, those needs for order and stability and support.
And
those
rules.
Are the things that you hold, you know, with just a fierce kind of passion for them and with them, without being attached or doing a yes or no to any of the strategies. But being clear as you hold those for yourself, that you find strategies in your life that will really meet those needs. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
I keep coming back, this whole integrating all these pieces. It seems when we get stuck, there's some piece that seems to be out of balance. It doesn't mean that we're changing anybody else's mind. I just mean when I get stuck and I'm not finding ways to flow and meet my needs and, you know, strategies that work, then I'm usually stuck in that there's some balance that's off. I either find myself attached to a strategy, or I find that I've lost the consciousness long ago, or I'm really sitting with some kind of thought, such as, you know, I kept bumping up in my own mind about this thought that there's not enough to go around, there's only one way, you know, in the role that you were playing. Just how do I connect underneath that worldview that's so strong? That was so hard, but then checking those out for myself. What worldview am I holding that prevents me from connecting?
Oh, that's a good question.
Or what's going on with my energy or my other ways of nonverbal communication? What's going on there that may make it difficult for us to connect?
So there's an interesting question. Can you have a one-sided connection? Can you have, it's like in mediation, if the people are not willing to work at this, if they're not, is it even worth trying?
I can am only responsible for the energy that flows from me.
Right.
And I don't understand at all how we're connected. I just know we are so, so deeply connected in ways we can't even imagine, that all I can do is to try to put out a certain kind of energy that's compatible with the energy that I'd like to receive or that I would like to be a part of. And I don't know if the mutual balance has to happen person to person, or if it's just if I can put a certain amount out into the world that it may not come for the person that I put it out toward, it may come through other people. I want to trust that when I am responsible to put out the kind of energy that I want to, connection, that it will help the bigger picture connect more. It may not be one-on-one with that person, but at least I'm acting in integrity with my values.
I wonder if it isn't a strategy of influence just to hold someone in your heart with empathy, to understand them, whether or not they can understand you back or show that understanding in any way. Mm-hmm. It seems to me it changes the relationship. It warms it or improves it in some way. Either party can hold the other one in empathy. You might even be able to do it if the other person doesn't even know.
Well, they can't know. You know, we can't get in each other's bodies. So
that's true.
Some way I really have to, it goes back to that surrender you talked about. Mm-hmm. What I'm really responsible for is my choices, where I come from, how I'm speaking, how I'm acting. So, Kathy, I would really like to hear your feedback and your reactions to all of this.
I actually numerous times got very confused about who was playing which role.
Was it because we were really wanting the same things? And so the both parts...
Yeah, that's kind of where it went back and forth for me. At times it sounded like Mary Kay was being Mary Kay. And so then I kind of would settle into that. But then it would sound very harsh and aggressive. And I thought, oh, my God, if she said that, no wonder he reacted. Oh, no, she's actually being him. And I just sort of got lost in that several times.
Okay.
What I heard and sort of where you ended up is the attachment to what saved him. And that if somehow, some way, the structure of that changes, then maybe his house of cards falls down. Like what I could hear, that resistance was fear. Like, no, it works. It worked for me. It works. It has to be this way. It works. And then the amazing, exhausting part for me, Kathleen, was the ability to just stay and to just stay and to just stay and to just stay. And that seems so unachievable. Just the stamina, the energy, the presence, the consciousness to just keep staying.
So I'll stay as long as it's fun for me. So as long, what I mean by that, Marshall told me that in a role play. He was the friend of mine that I just dearly love but wants nothing to do with me. And I said, Marshall, how long do I do that? Like, it's years. He said, well, you do it till it's not fun anymore. And I'm thinking, what do you mean fun? It hasn't been fun for years. And really translating that into, you do it as long as it holds meaning. And I realized I can't not do it because it's really what's most authentic and integrity for me is to continue to love this person.
Right.
And to act out of that, because that's what's real for me. So I guess that's what fun is it holds meaning. So if it's meaningful for me to stay, to try to stay connected to the needs, then I'm going to do that until I have other things that come up for me. Either I'm exhausted or I'm tired, which is where, you know, the end of the conversation is. I just got to a point of connection that I wanted to savor, and I didn't want to hear one more word. So that's why I asked to, I want to savor. I know we're connected right now, and I want some space and time to stay with that connection. And then I can
right.
come back again. I have a reading again from Margaret Weekly's Finding Our Way that seems fairly relevant to this whole idea of how do you meet your needs and how do you be authentic within a group that really wants you to conform. And I'm wondering if you would want to hear that.
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's from her Finding Our Way, which is a collection of essays. And the essay is called The Paradox and Promise of Community. Human communities are no different from the rest of life. We form our communities from these same two needs, the need for self-determination and the need for one another. So she thinks there are two needs, the two most basic human needs are the self-determination or being connected to our creativity and to be in relationship with one another, the need for community. So I'll continue on with the quote. But in modern society, we have difficulty embracing the inherent paradox of these needs. We reach to satisfy one at the expense of the other. Very often, the price of belonging to a community is to forfeit one's individual autonomy. Communities form around specific standards, doctrines, traditions. Individuals are required to conform, to obey, to serve the greater good of the community. This inclusion exacts a high price, that of our individual self-expression. With the loss of personal autonomy, diversity not only disappears, but also becomes a major management problem. Sounds like you're a management problem, Mary Kay.
I am.
I have more. The community spends more and more energy on new ways to exert control over individuals through endless proliferating policies, standards, and doctrines. The price that communities pay for this conformity is exhausting, and for its members, it is literally deadly. Life requires the honoring of its two great needs, not one. In seeking to be a community member, we cannot abandon our need for self-expression. In the most restrictive communities, our need for freedom creeps in around the edges or moves us out of the community altogether. We modify our look and clothing. We create cliques that support our particular manner of being. We form splinter groups. We leave the physical community. We disagree over doctrine and creating warring schisms. These behaviors demonstrate the unstoppable need for self-creation, even while we crave the support of others. Particularly in the West, and in response to this too demanding price of belonging, we move toward isolationism in order to defend our individual freedom. We choose to live a life lived alone in order for it to be our life. We give up the meaningful life that can only be discovered in relationship with others for a meaningless life that at least we think is ours. What we can see from our pursuit of individualism is the terrible price exacted for such independence. We end up in vacant places, overwhelmed by loneliness and the emptiness of life. It seems that whenever we bargain with life and seek to satisfy only one of its two great needs, the result is lifelessness. We must live within the paradox. Life does not allow us to choose sides. Our communities must support our individual freedom as a means to community health and resiliency. And individuals must acknowledge their neighbors and make choices based on the desire to be in relationship with them, as a means to own health and resiliency. I was honoring that one as a place of how difficult it is to come up with strategies sometimes that really don't let go of some needs, that honor all needs. And then when you brought up this example, Mary Kay, I just thought, oh, man, this is really so much about what it's about. So was it so
yeah.
long that you got lost in it, or did it have meaning for you?
Oh, no, I loved that. I loved the reading, and I loved the practice.
So if you can give me a one-minute checkout each and tell me what you would like to do next week, if you have any, you know, final requests, that would be great.
Well, this is Mary Kay, and I really can't think of anything. Weaving it all together sounds like fun.
Okay.
Yeah, weaving it together would definitely be valuable for me. I definitely have a sense that I'm not quite at a place of wrapping strategy around anything yet. So sort of weaving it together would probably be helpful.
So if we were to focus for you on the strategies that are related directly to you in your learning right now, so requests you can make of yourself, rather than pushing it out into the bigger world and interacting with people that may give you back information or responses that won't keep you really clear?
Yeah, actually that's good. The requests of myself still sort of taking these little steps towards the consciousness of my own needs. And I think I had mentioned before, and I see now how that fits in, being so focused on doing it right, particularly my empathic listening, that I'm still not connected or fully present because I'm so busy getting it right. Mm-hmm. So sort of in an egocentric way, still focusing on recognizing my needs and then what to do with them. And so making requests as myself is probably a good way to start understanding this strategy thing.
Okay, terrific. Well, thank you to both of you.
Thank you.